how many people in here hear from God? God speaks to you in some way, shape, or form. I think God speaks to everyone in some way, even if they don't know he's trying to speak to them. I believe unbelievers are being spoken to by God. They're just not tuned in yet. I think God's trying to show them. The word says very clearly, the earth reflects the majesty of God. And God speaks to me all the time. And sometimes I am listening faithfully enough to hear what he's saying. And I need to work on my faithfulness in listening to him. And one of the things God's been speaking to me about for quite some time now comes out of 2 Timothy. And I believe it is chapter 2 and verse 15, and I should have had that memorized. He's actually been sharing a few things out of 2 Timothy, but one in particular that he's had on my heart for a couple of months now. And I've just been pondering it and pondering it. Okay, God, I know. I memorized the scripture when I was just a child. The scripture is this, out of 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. And I think I took this out of the New Living Translation, but it could be out of another. It says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. I'll just stop on that one for a second. We are to present ourselves to God as one who is approved. Who is approved in here? We're all approved. We've all been approved. We have the stamp of approval, which is the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. A worker following Christ takes work. Who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. I have pondered on that scripture for about 2 months now. I mean, I've thought about it many, many times, but God's had it on my heart for about 2 months. And I have to ask myself, because I'm not only responsible to myself for the word, I'm responsible, we all are, each of us. I'm just speaking of myself here, not because I'm standing here, but because of who I am as a representative of Christ and somebody who is commissioned to share his gospel. Am I handling the word of God rightly? Now, what I'm about ready to say, I think I'm at liberty to say, because I know it's true for me, and I believe it's going to be true for all of us until we go on to be with Christ. And that is, we are always having to check our doctrine. Now, there are certain things we just have down packed. We know God created this earth. We know he is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. We know he sent his son to this earth. We know Christ lived a sinless life. I said that right? A sinless life? Okay. He died for our sins. He rose from the dead. He's alive today. His spirit's on the inside of us. Those things we have pretty clear. There's no confusion. I don't have to check my doctrine on that. But there's other things that are in the word that sometimes we have to search a little bit and say, do I really understand that? If somebody asks a question, and there can be 1,000 questions asked to us, that some of those questions we may have to sit back and think, I don't know if I've meditated on that enough. I don't know if I've thought about that enough. Good question. Can I come back to you? That's the honest response, because we can say, well, here's one scripture, but then we need to support that scripture. And I'm going to use some examples of where God, just some, I'm sure there's dozens and dozens and dozens of scriptures and concepts in the word where we can take one scripture and say, this is what the word says. But unless we corroborate it or support it, many times what we're telling somebody is only partially true, only partially supported, and sometimes it means we only partially understand it. And I've really, as God has been challenging me to be a student of the word, he says, I want you to understand my principles so that you could share them properly, so that you can share them with clarity. We are commissioned to teach others, to preach the gospel, but we have to understand what it is we're sharing. People are going to have questions, and we're going to need to be able to rightly handle the word of truth. And God has been challenging me to dig deeper so that I understand those things that I could share with others. Now, if I were digging something with regards to the word, I feel like I'm just kicking the dust on the ground compared to how deep the word really is. I feel like I'm doing a bit of this. And I'm sure even that is quite a bit, but I think God's telling me, dig, dig, dig. And something, and I keep this in my Bible, and I used to actually carry it with me. And God's had me use this for many, many things. But I have here something he gave me while I was at work. I was sitting down, just grabbed a piece of paper that was on my desk, a little note sticker. And I was pondering teaching. I was pondering learning. And I was thinking, you know, how do people get things? And God gave me three words. Gave me simplicity, efficiency, and effectiveness. And it didn't even dawn on me. I'm a little slow when it comes to certain simple things. I don't see them right away. But the acronym that God had given me was C, S-E-E. And what I felt, thank you, Peter, I didn't even recognize it. What I felt he was telling me is with whatever it is I'm trying to share, whatever it is I'm trying to impart or teach, that if I don't see it, they won't either. If I am not being simplistic, efficient, and effective, chances are the person that I'm trying to influence isn't going to get it. If I don't have a solid understanding of something and I'm trying to share it, I'm not going to get it. I know about this much about adobe. I know it comes from the ground. I know somehow it gets put together and it makes really nice houses. I can't teach anyone in here about adobe, but I know someone who can because he has a profound understanding. And he could teach it with simplicity, efficiency, and effectiveness. And that person can take whatever it is, and they could probably build something with adobe. And God was telling me, he says, you are commissioned to teach my word. Everyone's commissioned to teach the word, but we need to understand it. And there's a number of things in the word that can be perceived as being contradictory, conflicting. They're neither. There's just a lack of understanding. And God was showing me some examples with regards to, if you just dig a little, you'll understand where two conflicting ideas become harmonious. And I'm just going to use three, although there are a ton that we could spend weeks on. I'm going to try to do this in some sort of order. First one I'm going to do comes out of Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16. And this is one of the concepts that I think I avoided because I had such a lack of understanding about it. I didn't really search it out much up until just recently. I had, you know, just kind of a basic, this is probably what I think. And in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16, Jesus is talking to his disciples and he's getting ready to send them out. He says, "Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be as wise as serpents and innocent as doves." What? There in my physical mind is no comparison between a serpent and a dove. They're like night and day. How can we possibly be as wise, or another word used in another translation is cunning. How can we be as cunning or wise or as quick as serpents and yet as innocent as doves? Now, I can't speak for the rest of the world who knows this scripture. I don't know how much people spend time studying it out. But I would reckon that most Christians don't understand the scripture. And I had to search it out a little, and I learned a few things as I did. And it's caused me to ponder, am I, with the world, being as wise or as cunning as a serpent, and yet as innocent as a dove? And I looked up some things, and I'm going to read you something that I came across. I thought it just said it so well. Well, first of all, we know that serpents are the enemies of most things. Human beings, most domestic animals, most creatures. You know, for the most part, they like to be left alone. They are usually hated, generally speaking. But serpents are cunning and wise. They make calculated decisions. Serpents are most often hated by those around them. They are considered dangerous and a nuisance. Since they always have to be on guard to protect themselves, there is a level of wisdom and readiness that they need to have that many other creatures may not need to be equipped with. Think about that for a second as a Christian. Christians are hated many times and in many places. We are commissioned that we are told we need to be on guard. We need to be aware. We need to be paying attention. We need to be ready. I haven't had many encounters with serpents. I'm sure Pastor has many stories, but they know what's around them. They know when to strike. They know when to let you know you're in their territory. They know when to protect themselves. And there's a part of us that needs to be ready when Satan is going to come and attack us. When we need to be aware of our spiritual, physical, but also very much our spiritual surroundings. But at the same time, we need to be as innocent as doves. With the world, doves are gentle. Mostly they're considered that way. They're innocent. They are not looking to do wrong. We need to somehow balance who we are in operating both ways. And I still struggle with it. I'm still trying to figure out, God, how do I personify both characteristics so that I can be ready for all things and yet be gentle, even when being attacked? I mean, we look at Jesus. It described him as being a sheep going to slaughter. He didn't attack. He didn't say anything against anyone. He knew what God had commissioned him to do, and he just said, okay, I'm going to do it. Another example, and this one I'm going to go into a little bit more. God was revealing this to me about a week ago. He had me ponder this, that the kingdom of God belongs to the children. And yet, I'm going to share, let's turn to Matthew chapter 18, and we're going to look at verse 2, 3, and 4. And then I'm going to look at another side. Matthew chapter 18, verses 2, 3, and 4 says, Jesus called a child over and had the child stand near him. Then he said, I promise you this, if you don't change and become like a child, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. But if you are as humble as this child, you are the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Not the first time I had heard that, but still trying to figure out, God, how do I become like a child without acting like a child? Because there's some other scriptures that in balance, we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 20. And I'm going to expound a little on Matthew chapter 18, but I wanted to give a little contrast. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 20. It says, my friends, stop thinking like children. Think like mature people and be as innocent as tiny babies. Ephesians 4:14 says, we must stop acting like children. Well, didn't Matthew say we are to be as children? Verse 14 says, we must not let deceitful people trick us by their false teachings, which are like winds that toss us around from place to place. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1 says, my friends, you are acting like the people of this world. That's why I cannot speak to you as spiritual people. You are like babies as far as your faith in Christ is concerned. Again, two concepts. We are to be as children with our Father. And yet in our walk as Christians, we are to grow in maturity. And I wrote down some things, and I'm sure other people have other descriptions. I said, well, what does it mean, as children unto our Father God? And this is what I came up with. Things that God wants to see from us as his children. Adoring our Father. I don't think we can ever grow out of adoring our Father. I know Pastor Ruth never stops adoring her Father. No matter how old she gets, no matter how old he gets, she will always adore him. Easily believing without trying to fully understand every detail. If we have faith in our Father, we can easily believe and easily trust without fully trying to understand every detail. My father told me many things that if I asked him to explain it to me, I wouldn't have got it. So I just had to say, okay, Dad, I'm going to do it because I trust you. I didn't have the understanding in age to be able to say, oh, well, I think it should be better done this way. I just had to say, Dad, I'm sure you're right. I'm going to do it that way because I trust you. Having full confidence in our Father as protector and comforter. Relying on God as our source for all we need. Not limited in humanistic logical thinking, still having an imagination to believe those things that don't make sense to the educated mind. Not dependent on our own skills and abilities, believing that we can be successful independent of our Father God. Not forgetting how to have fun and turn what we're doing into an enjoyable experience. Although there may be suffering along the way, God desires that we enjoy our salvation and the work that we do for Him in the kingdom, in His kingdom business is done with joy. And children are still naturally curious and hungry to learn and experience new things they may not be familiar with. I believe we can be as this, as a child would be with the Father, as children are, but at the same time, growing in maturity, growing in understanding of the Word so that we can fulfill 2 Timothy 2:15, which is about rightly handling the Word of truth. In Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about having wavering thoughts. Children many times trust those or will learn from those that they think they can trust. And if we are innocent, naive, not mature in our understanding of the Word, it's not hard to be swayed by wrong doctrine. An understanding that we need to be as children unto our Father, and yet at the same time mature in Christ. That is something that I think can seem conflicting, that we need to learn how to properly express. And the third example that he had given me, and this one I hope to be able to express properly, is the balance of faith and works. Or should I say, works in faith and grace. And I don't know if I have it down 100%, but I know what the Word says. In Acts chapter 15 and verse 11, it says, no, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved, just as they are. In Romans 3:24, it says, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. In Romans 9:16, it says, it does not, therefore, depend on human desire or effort, but on God's mercy. And in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, made us alive with Christ even when we are dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. I've heard a lot of people say, well, works don't matter. Well, that's true, because we can't work our way to heaven. We ensure our salvation by grace through faith with the demonstration of works. Faith worketh by love. But unless we teach both sides of it, in James chapter 2, very common passage of scripture, talks about if you don't have works with your faith, you're not going to produce anything. And James says, show me your works without your faith, and I'll show you my works by my faith. Abraham was justified by his works motivated by faith. His works didn't get him to heaven. His works motivated by faith in the one true God allowed God to call him righteous. And I know that I've probably got topics in here where I've got one scripture, I think, yeah, I think I got that. And then God's going to say, well, look at this one. What am I really trying to say? And the one goal, the one idea is, I want to make sure that I rightly handle the Word of truth. That no matter who I'm talking to, I'm not going to bring confusion to that person. We're called to teach this Word, but we can't teach that which we don't understand. I've been convicted in my heart by my hesitancy to teach. because I don't feel like I have it all figured out, I guess I could say, well, I don't have enough yet, God. He says, well, what do you know? Well, I know that you're God. I know that I'm saved by grace. I know that you love me. Well, share that. He said, share what you know. Share what you have a solid understanding on. And those things you don't yet have a solid understanding on, dig in, learn, because you're going to have an opportunity to share those things. And if we don't dig into some of these things, such as somebody can read a scripture that says, you know, the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are as children. And then somehow they happen on another scripture that says, don't act like children. It's like, well, which one? Am I supposed to be a child or am I not supposed to be a child? Am I supposed to just depend on grace or am I supposed to do works through faith? You know, what am I supposed to do? And we're supposed to help keep it simple for people. Make it simplistic. Make it easy for them to understand so they'll embrace it. Because the one thing that people are afraid of is those things that they least understand. They're not going to embrace something that seems complex to them. And yet it is our duty to make it simple. And I know I haven't always done a very good job at that, which is probably why God's had me keep this thing with me. Because he's had me remember, just keep it simple. Be efficient and be effective. And if you do those things, people will see what it is you're sharing. God has a lot of opportunities for those who are willing to step out. And I'll be honest with you, I have been one of those people who probably haven't been as willing to step out as he would have liked me to be. Because I looked at the word as, I don't know this much, rather than this is what I already do know. And I think God's challenged me, and I believe he's challenging the body of Christ. Dig into my word. The more the word is in us, the more it's a part of us. I don't know if it was you, Pastor, who was saying it, or I was listening to another teaching. Something about the more that's in you when you get squeezed, that's what comes out of you. And if the word's in us and the Holy Spirit's built on the inside of us and we get squeezed by the world, guess what's going to come out of us? The word. And I have a feeling there's going to be some squeezing going on here as time gets closer to Christ arriving. And we get squeezed. There's only one thing that we want to have come out of us, and that's the word. That's the anointing. That's the Holy Spirit. I mean, just imagine, I read Pastor Richard Wurmbrand's Tortured for Christ. I don't know if anyone in here has read that, but it's a convicting book, yet a very encouraging book. And one of the things that I had taken from him was the love that flowed from him for his captors, for the people who were initiating the beatings and the tortures and the demonstrations of hate. And he said, I couldn't do anything but love them because that's what was on the inside of me. I love those communists. I may not love what they do. I may not love what they have done, but there is no way I can hate them because they have no idea what it is they're really doing and they're dealing with their own battles. And I want to understand the love of Christ. I want to understand the word so that when those hard times come, and there are persecutions, and there are trials, and the world is squeezing us, the only thing that's going to emit from my pores and emit from my mouth is the word of God and the Spirit. And one story, the stories that he kept on saying was how his captors, in the same way that Paul led his captor, the guard, and his entire family to Christ, he says, I have led so many prison guards to Christ that they ended up becoming prisoners with me. Because the love of God that I had, that I showed to them, is the same love that got on the inside of them. And they ended up becoming partners in ministry with me. I don't know where I'm going with this except to say, God is calling us to be effective. God is calling us to change this world. And I guess I shared it in Obregón. I don't recall what the scripture was. I guess I can look it up. But I believe right around in the same time in reference to Paul being in front of the priests, they were saying, I don't even have it. Anyway, these priests were saying, look at what these people have done. They've come in and they've turned our world upside down. these Jews come in and they're changing everything. And I believe, in line with what you guys have been sharing, it says there, believe the word and take it to the streets, that God's wanting us to turn our world upside down. And I really felt as he was showing me this about understanding his word, that we're going to need to understand God. Not his fullness. We'll never be able to understand the fullness. But that we would understand who our God is so that we can share that with others. So that others can enjoy it. So that the world will then look more like the kingdom of God rather than the kingdom of this world. And I don't really have much beyond this, but I felt I had that in my heart to share, that let's rightly discern the word of truth, Pastor Gustavo, and let's change this world. Glory to God.
Thank you. Can you handle some pidgin English? Great. Well, I was thinking, is God wanted me to share this with you? And I think maybe he is. I have always this kind of questions that Eric was sharing, you know, but it's by grace, but we have to do things. And I found these scriptures in 2 Peter chapter 1. And he said something like this, and you use the word effectiveness. And in the NIV, says like this in chapter 1, verse 8. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of your Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all these things, is I have been sharing this, all what Peter says, is all, to all of you that have received the same faith that we have, this precious faith, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. A lot of people, they think, you know, once you're saved forever. But the thing is, are you really saved? Are you a part of God's family? That's the real question we should ask, you know. We have this faith, and I was studying this, all these words. His divine, I'm in verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who calls us by his own glory and goodness. Through this, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. This is something all of us will always have, these evil desires. And we cannot be just standing, Jesus saved me and he did all what I need. Yes, he did. But we should walk in this knowledge and became a little more effective, learning a little more, not a little, a lot more, so we can share with a real conviction what we have in our heart. So I was seeing this. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. King James says virtue. And that word virtue, I was looking for it, and it says moral excellency, manly, strenuous energy, that we have to make a very good effort so the people around the world can see God in us. You know, people have to see it. And this is after the moral, how you say, excellency, to the virtue knowledge. And this knowledge for a lot of time, a lot of time, I thought we were talking about information, having a lot of information about the Bible and revelation from heaven, but it's not exactly that. In Greek, the word said, this is from this Jameson, they have a strange, yep, commentaries of the Bible. They say something like this. Namely, about knowledge, namely, practical discrimination of good and evil. That's what the people need to know. What good can do to the people if you know the whole Bible, if you don't know the difference between good and evil? One of the main work of a priest is to show the people the difference between the holy things and the unholy things. So we need to be, in the book of Hebrews, they say that we should be in the practical of discerning between good and evil, you know. That's when you get mature and you can start to get more knowledge about God and then take it out for people that don't know God. It says, practical discrimination of good and evil, intelligent appreciation of what is the will of God in each detail of practice. This is very interesting, isn't it? I like it. I like it a lot. And I was enjoying this because knowledge, Paul says that the knowledge makes you proud. Puff, puff. Right? But the love edifies. So we need to, you know, get all this thing and love people. And there's a lot of things here in the Bible that you say, sometimes when I don't understand something, and some people come, you know, with a, if they come with the genuine curiosity of knowing, well, see, if I know, I will tell them. But some of them just come to make you, you know, to see what you think and to argue or whatever, you know. So the thing is, when somebody really wants to know and you don't know, I say, well, I'm dealing right now in loving my neighbor, you know. So those questions I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to tell me. Is that right? But the things we know, I think we should share it. There's a lot of things and people are dying outside without knowing God, without love, without understanding what is this all about. And Apostle Peter says after this, says, I know you know most of these things, but even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have, I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside as our Lord Jesus Christ was made clear to me. So that's what has put in my heart. As long as I live, I will repeat these things to people. You know, it's not just you're saved, as Eric was saying. James says, show me your faith through your works. That's right. I love you, family. Pastor.
Thank you, hermano Gustavo. They say that experience is one of your greatest teachers, and I believe that. Observation is also a terrific teacher. And I've been able to observe some things, and I've had some experience. And I can say with confidence that I know a lot more now than I did when I was 2 years old. Why? How did that happen? I grew. I matured. I learned. Now, I can apply that to my person, my physical person. I can apply that to my personality. I can also apply that to how I believe the Word of God. This Word has not changed, but my conception of the Word, my understanding of the Word, has changed since I was 2 years old. And it must continue to change or I have died. If I don't know more about the word and know it with more clarity next year than I know now, then I have failed. One of the biggest mistakes that we make as Christians is to set our heart on a specific doctrine and say, this is the way it is and going to be. You just quit growing when you did that. That's what I have observed. That's what I have learned over time, is to continue the learning process. Continuing education in the things of God, in the Word of God, is a necessary part of Christian growth. Because Jesus said it like this. He said, the words that I speak are spirit, and they are life. Is there any stopping or ending in the realm of spirit? Is there any stopping or ending in the realm of life? Spirit and life are creative in their very nature, and they continue to increase. And the Word of God that we have, the written Word of God, as the Holy Spirit makes it real to us, it continues to increase in us. And we increase in it. And it becomes more and more real to us every day. And that's the beauty of the Word. It lives. It's life, yes, but its life is living. It's ongoing, continually living, creating, expanding. It's a beautiful thing. And so I've seen the theme tonight through what Eric was presenting, what Gustavo was bringing. I've seen the theme tonight that we need to, as Eric said, dig in to the Word and learn more. But next year, we dig into the same word a little deeper. We learn more. And 10 years from now, we dig a little deeper and we learn more. And it never runs out of something to learn because it is a living word. It is spirit and it is life. It continues. That's the beauty of God. That is the beauty of God. He is the expression of life. His word is the expression of life. The explosion of life. The Big Bang. Talk about the Big Bang. God is the Big Bang. And there is no end to the knowledge, no end to the revelation, no end to the living Word of God. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's something we'll never, in all of our natural years, it's something we'll never collect enough of. We'll never get there. We'll always be striving for more, learning more. That's the beauty of it. It's hard to understand sometimes to the natural mind. But God's Word is alive. And it's living and growing in every one of us. And that's such a beautiful thing. God is defined by the Apostle John as love. He says clearly in a number of places, God is love. Well, if God and His Word are continually expressing revelation and growing in knowledge and understanding, so is love. In 1966, August the 19th, I married this lovely lady. And I thought that I really loved her. Well, I did. I loved her with everything I had in 1966. But you know, she's not satisfied with 1966 love. She has a right to expect increase in my love. And I have increased in my love for her. I have increased in my understanding of how to love her. I've increased in my understanding of how to receive her love to me. And we're not going to stop in 2014. We intend to love one another more in 2015 and more in 2016 and more in 2017 if we do not continue to increase in the revelation of love. We have died. I have a lot of research material in my office, years of it. Barbara's dad was a pastor for over 60 years. He passed a lot of research down to me. My dad was a teacher and Bible scholar, he still is, for over 60 years. And I have a lot of research material for him. I've got research material. And I've got charts that can tell you how everything's going to turn out. They were written way back. But they were man-made, conceived by man, presented by man's present understanding of the Word. And already many of those charts have already proven themselves wrong. Because what God is to us today is far more than what He was to us 50 years ago. We're on the increase when it comes to the Word of God. And it's because we're digging in, as Eric said, dig in. Don't just scratch the surface. Dig in. Dig deep. Learn to handle the word of truth, it said. I like that way that's presented. The word of truth. You know, truth is in that realm of growing, expansion. Truth expands constantly. What is true doesn't. What is true? Okay, it's true that this light is on. Whoops, what happened to true? The truth is, I can turn it on, turn it off. The truth is beyond what was true a few moments ago. A few moments ago, I could say, that light was on. I know it was on. I'll bet $1,000 that light was on. Yeah, I promise you, this is a true saying. The light was on. I'm telling you. But what was true then is not true now. And so true and truth are in two separate realms. True is temporary and functions in the now. Truth is eternal and functions continually as it grows. Truth grows and grows and grows and grows. Interesting, isn't it? Play on words here, I know. But still, it just what we're seeing tonight is the value of the Word of God to grow us and mature us. That's what I'm getting out of this message. From the beginning of what Eric first, his first lead scripture, his text, up to what Gustavo said, I see that the word's full of life and energy, and we just need to dig into it and let it work in us and change us and grow us and mature us, and it's just awesome. Amen. Everybody's happy, right? I like what one preacher said. He said, I'm so satisfied with this unsatisfied satisfaction. That's the way I am about the revelation of God's Word. I'm satisfied with the unsatisfied satisfaction. I know, I'm playing with words. I know. I want more. I want more. I want more. I love what Nina was sharing with us a couple weeks ago as she talked about the buffet of the Lord. She said, you know, more. You know, when you go to the buffet, that's not a time to fast. When you go to the buffet, it's time to eat. And we have such a buffet here. I just encourage you tonight, eat the Word. Eat the Word. Eat the Word. Because it's living and it wants to be living in us. That we might be living with it and growing in its grace, growing in its knowledge, growing in its revelation. It's a beautiful thing. Does anyone have any special prayer needs you'd like for us to pray about tonight? Please feel free to raise your hand or come up here or whisper in my ear or shout. If there's anybody who has a special prayer need, we'd be glad to help you with that. Okay, praise the Lord. Well, our teenagers and our children will be out of their class any minute. And so why don't you just take the next few minutes to love on one another till all the kids come out, and we'll go from there. God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Eric. Thank you, Gustavo. Thank you for the wonderful things that you shared with us about the living Word of God.